Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Great job out by the Tennessee Lottery. Buck Rising and Jason Martin and Mickey Ryan and our buddy JT, who's fighting through a cold today. He's a warrior. He's a battler, much like Jason Swain, who joins us now. Swain, were you ultimately surprised to see Juwan Jennings getting suspended for a half by the Southeastern Conference?
I was surprised that he got suspended for a half. I'm not surprised he got suspended. I mean, when you look at kind of what happened, and you know, I've been tackled several times by linebackers and DBs. You know, it doesn't take that long to get off of a guy, and I thought the one was a little extra. I love the hit, even if it was borderline late. No problem with the hit, but I think the other stuff is why Juwan found himself sitting out a half.
The whole situation to me is interesting, Jason, because I look at like the precedent for a suspension like this, and to just for a half a game, it doesn't make sense. Obviously, you can't make it any long. I mean, you can make it longer. You can give him the full game if you want it to actually mean something to him. But I was reading through tweets from Blake Totmeyer, covers balls down there at for the Knoxville News Sentinel, and he was saying that they don't factor, like, intent is not in the letter of the law when the SEC and the NCAA are making these kinds of post-game rulings. How could that be so?
I mean, I don't look so much at the intent. I mean, I look at the SEC being really inconsistent. This year, Cass Daniels, linebacker at Kentucky, is trying to twist off the ankle of Florida quarterback under the pile. It's visible, it's clear, and the SEC allowed Kentucky to handle things internally. They did not step up, did not discipline him their own. They did not do that. Last year, Alabama player basically going Apollo Creed on a Missouri play, and nothing happened to that player. So that's kind of what I question the conference is, where is the consistency? Juwan made a tackle. Juwan did not get up immediately. The Vanderbilt player's helmet came off, and Juwan accidentally, intentionally, stepped on the young man's face. And I think if Juwan would have just gotten up like a normal play does after making a tackle, I think Juwan doesn't put himself in danger of accidentally or intentionally stepping on Vanderbilt's face. So, you can still get in trouble. You can still be reprimanded. You can still face punishment, even if you didn't to do something wrong. Juwan, I think, kind of put himself in that position by some of the extracurricular activities after the tackle. So, he didn't look like he tried to do it because he wasn't looking, but he did it. And so, because he did it, he's disciplined. So, that's kind of how I look at it.
So, yeah, I think you're right in terms of intent, because intent really needs to be taken into the equation. And I don't think that Juwan Jennings intended what happened at the end of the play, but the fact that he did not immediately get off the Vanderbilt player, that can lead you to the wrong conclusion here, and there's not a lot of evidence on Juwan Jennings' side. So maybe, I don't know, maybe they got this right. I don't feel great about it because I don't think that that really is indicative of who Juwan is, but, well, you know, now the Vols are just going to have to deal without him for a half, right?
Yeah, I'm talking on the Planet's last football game, just 4.5. And, depending on what Tennessee matches up with, they're going to need Juwan. And Juwan's been a big reason why this offense has been able to be explosive and have explosive plays. And he sets the tone for this offense physicality-wise, him and Trey Smith. So Tennessee's going to miss him for the first half, no doubt about it. So I hate that for him. But at the same time, I understand why he's being disciplined, just because he was doing a little too much. I love the hit, but I can't see here in good faith and pretend like Juwan is innocent here. I can't do it. I mean, I want to. I love Juwan, but I can't do it.
Sure. Jason Swain, our guest here on 3HL. Swain, what about the seniors? You're somebody that's watched this team for such a long period of time, and you care passionately about them. This senior class is not going to go down maybe as the best class, but when you look at how they played, especially this season, and how all of them have had moments of leadership, you've had Batuli really step up on defense. Nigel Warrior may have made himself draftable in the back half of this season. Daryl Taylor, and then, of course, Jennings, who we just spent 5 minutes talking about, and Callaway. These guys have dealt with so much inconsistency, futility, and mediocrity. I think they're going to go down as fairly memorable just for just how much they dealt with, and they're going to end this thing on a high note.
No, I think about, you know, Dan Patulli starting the season off hurt, and instantly when he returned, the defense has improved. I think about Najee Warrior and kind of where he's come from, and the tackles that he's made in the open field, the plays he's made, passing game. You know, guys like Trey Smith, who's a senior, but you know, I kind of look at him as one. Juwan Jennings, going from not being on the team to back on the team, and you know, being a guy that is one of the best wide receivers, you know, in the country. Callaway, who when he first arrived, you know, didn't get the development and strength conditioning program, but over the summer, you know, he's running 4.42s and jumping 37-inch verticals, and that's going to help him in a big way at the pro day NFL combine. And you know, his yards per catch is through the roof. So I'm just really amazed by the senior class and Daryl Taylor as well, making big plays and being more consistent than we've seen in recent years. These guys, they're going to leave some big keys to be filled. And you know, I know a lot of young players played this season, but I think it's going to be really tough and difficult to replace that type of production, that leadership that we saw in the back half of the season with a bunch of freshmen next year.
And certainly, Swain, a story about the guys who are going, as you were discussing, but another story angle that seems to be reaffirmed now on a consistent basis, that Jarrett Garantano will return next year, which I think at the start of the season and as the season progressed early on, nobody thought that would happen.
No, I mean, a rough start, and you know, that was one thing, and the Alabama play is a whole other thing. I kind of wondered what would happen and how that locker room group will respond to him. And it just didn't really matter what I thought, it didn't matter what you thought, it didn't matter what it really anyone outside the locker room thought about that. It was about people in their locker room. And I think they showed us how they feel about that. They rallied around him. The defense is playing well. He's playing well. When he's making plays, you know, the team is happy. And I just want to take the time to really kind of point out, you know, Dan broke his wrist on a play that really was all he was known for. That was just being tough. He stands in the pocket, gets South Carolina, takes a big hit, Juwan Jennings scores a touchdown. And then the next game, he is playing with a broken wrist, basically one hand. And on Thanksgiving, he lost his grandmother. And to really go through everything that he's been through this season and try to keep things in perspective and be able to bounce back, you got to have a strong core. You got to have a strong family, strong people around you, and have a strong faith. Because most kids crumble in that moment that Jarrett Garantano was in. And you know, I think about his grandmother. I think about his parents, his sisters, his family. And they did a really great job of kind of lifting him up. And you know, even when his grandma passed on Thanksgiving, 2 days later, he comes out and he gives us all for his team and plays in a football game to help kind of finish the regular season on a high note. So, you know, football is a game, and, you know, we cheer for our team. We want them to win. But at the end of the day, these are young men that deal with emotions and injuries and, you know, at worst, death of a family member and grandmother at that. So, really, really, really proud of Derek and how he's on back.
Hey, we're right up against the break. Got like 20 seconds left. I was going to ask you, any kind of rumblings, which way they're leaning bowl-wise at this point, where they might go in a potential matchup or no?
It looks like they're going to Florida. I mean, Tennessee fans travel well, and if you're a bowl side down in Florida, you would absolutely love to see Tennessee fans come to your city.
Everybody down there working on their tan lines in the winter. I got you. Well,
That's right.
There's been a little bit of rumbling about Music City and a couple other things. So Florida, though, seeming like the destination.
I mean, I love Nashville, if you're a Tennessee player, you're 2.5 hours away from Nashville. I think the Florida bowl game at the beginning of the year will be something that will be pretty awesome for you guys.
Well, be awesome for the fan base, too. Swain, great stuff as always, man. We'll catch up with you next week.
Okay, thank you.
Jason Swain on 104.5 The Zone, presented by Gary Ashton of RE/MAX Advantage. Looking to sell your home? Want to sell it quickly and for top dollar? Then call Gary Ashton of RE/MAX Advantage at 615-301-1650 or online at GaryAshton.com. Gary Ashton, the official real estate agent of the Nashville Predators.
Got the full Titans injury report when we were...